your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie on a very troublesome Tuesday. How is everyone?
It is troublesome. And yes, welcome to our troublesome Tuesday.
Today is the first day of Mercury retrograde.
It is.
And we know what happens then.
Well, apparently there's trouble.
Yes.
So we're gonna just say that it's troublesome, you know, hopefully not too bad. Like you were saying before the show, we were talking about it and looking at our astrologer friend from Washington State that we just had on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
she was saying that certain signs won't have too bad of a run, sounds like.
Yeah, and our signs are among those signs. And then when I read my horoscope for this week, it said you know, for all the reasons, and Mercury retrograde, it'll be challenging, but should be able to dance my way through it with no issues. So that's a good thing. So maybe this whole thing won't be so bad. It's worse for like Aries. I think Aries was one of the signs, Aries and Libra, maybe. And I don't remember, I should pull it up. But yeah, she was saying the reasons why. And so, but our signs are kind of in a better place this time. So that's a good thing, because you know what? We're super busy this month and in the next coming month. So, you know, we just can't be beside ourselves, which usually is what Mercury retrograde does for me.
I was going to say, Steph, you always say that we're busy, that we're coming up, it's busy, but we're always busy. So
I know. But this month, it's a surprise.
Well, we're busy coming up. It's not unusual. We're always busy. Everybody's busy.
Right?
I was talking to a client today about being busy. She goes, well, everybody's so busy now. And I said, yeah, when haven't they been? I said, where is that becoming the new excuse that, you know, people don't want to connect or reach out or whatever? It's like, no, we might be a different kind of busy, but we're so busy. So, yeah.
It is true. And, you know, I always think, what can we do to de-busy ourselves?
I have to just say no.
Do that. But, you know, there's just things that have to be done. And then there's something called the full-time day job that has to be done every day. So it's
But there's things that you can say no to.
That's right.
You know, that's how you stop the craziness and the runaround is.
Yep.
You say no every once in a while to things and just chill.
Yep. And I know last night that's exactly what I did. Mondays are a hard day, I think, because it's the first day back to work, and so I've just decided that now Mondays are my night. I come home and eat dinner and just chill for the rest of the night, you know, and do whatever I want to do, you know. So that's what we did. We watched Practical Magic. That was fun. I love that show. It's that time of year, you know.
Good seasonal show, movie.
So that was super fun. So how was your weekend?
Busy. As we're talking busy, but you know, it's a good busy and it's balanced busy. So I'm not busy the whole weekend, but you know, I had my new studio open house on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun. And I saw a lot of great people that stopped in and wanted to see what it was all about. And some new people that have never been to my studio before came with people that they knew and wanted to check it out. So that was fun to meet new people. Mm-hmm. The fun thing about the new studio is there's a really cool like portal in the Reiki room when you walk about 2 feet in the door of the Reiki room, because people would come through the studio and they'd be looking in the doors, but standing in the doorway, you know, kind of in the threshold. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they'd come up and they'd peek their head in and look around. I'm like, no, you got to go in, because about 2 feet in, so get further than 2 feet in, you'll feel yourself kind of get sucked in. And this, like, you go into this vacuum and it's mm-hmm. weird and cool. Like, it's really mm-hmm. cool. So I'd have four people standing in there and everybody's holding their arms out, like, you know, out at their sides sure. and looking at their hands. My hands are tingling. I feel really weird. What's going on in here? And I said, I know, right? Mm-hmm. So this Reiki room feels really good. It's really good. Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's fun. Yeah. So we did that on Sunday, and then I had the first shamanic breath work in the studio on Sunday. So that was fun too. And mm-hmm. every time we do something there, it just charges it up even more, and spirit is already charging it up. So it's just, it feels good. It feels really mm-hmm. good.
That's awesome.
So, but outside of doing those things, you know, I'm not going 100 miles an hour. There's enough time yeah. to relax. You know, we had a fire, you know, out in the backyard, and you know, at night, and mm-hmm. you know, I walk my dogs every night out, you know, under the stars. And so it's a good balance. It's busy, but not crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. And that's kind of what I've been trying to do too, because when we got back from the island, we, you know, exhausted from the travel, because as I've told you before, it really takes a whole travel day to get
yeah.
there and one to get back. And so by the time you get back, you're exhausted, and especially if you have to go to work the next day at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know what I mean? So, but when we were there, it was so fabulous not to have anything on the calendar. And like I said, we did chase whales the whole time, which was phenomenal. And you just are so buzzed and relaxed. And I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to be busy from the time I get out of bed till the time I go to bed at night anymore. This is ridiculous. I'm going to sit down. We're going to watch a movie if I want to watch a movie, and, you know, do what I want to do and be out in the garden and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And so that's what I'm trying to do. That's the new balance thing, because it's just too hard to do the other stuff. You know, you're just crazy busy all the time. And this, you know, we got out in the woods this weekend, which was super fun. Let me tell you, though, what was really sad is, so this is the first time we've been back to our original research area, Heidi. You know the area.
Okay. Yep.
I think we were there maybe just for a little bit earlier in the spring, but we haven't been there for like a year.
I didn't think I'd seen anything recently anyway.
No.
For research.
No. And
over there.
You know, Grandma Pine.
Yeah.
Because listen, all of those big, beautiful century old pine trees all are half brown because of the heat and the no water. And she, all of her needles are brown and falling off.
Oh.
And of course I went over to her and, you know, did what I do with trees, and she feels like she's still there. I hope she can make it through it. You know, I said prayers, and you know, it was cool. It was Kristen gave me an idea when we were all together and we were talking about that tree that we, you know, helped when we were up north. Mm-hmm. And so I offered some of my hair, some of me, for a branch of hers, you know, and that was cool. And so I wrapped my hair around one of her branches and then I took one, you know, but I hope she's okay. But it made me really sad because I'm just like, my God, that tree is so old. And, you know, I don't think she's old enough to pass away, because look at those 300-year-old pines up in the last 40, for example, you know, mm-hmm. it's just been, this year has been so bad. You know, yeah. It's just ufta, you know, the marshland wasn't really wet because there's just lack of rain, right? But it was very fun. We got over to the other side where we camped that night, and mm-hmm. there was all kinds of new stuff, all kinds of exes. So they've been busy out there, you know?
Cool.
And so I think we'll probably go back at night, not to stay overnight, because you can't really be there without permission after 11. But it gets dark so early now that we can go at like 7 or something, mm-hmm. you know, and stay for several hours and then come home and see what happens. But there's a lot of activity. But this stick structure quadrant is kind of fading away, you know, it's just kind of falling apart. And what's interesting, though, is the stick structure that we created ourselves mm-hmm. seems to be different. Like it's been added to and not by us. So maybe they decided they like that one. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that the others are falling down and mm-hmm. being neglected, and mm-hmm. that one is being tended, mm-hmm. you know? And because mm-hmm. you'd think that if they're going to set up shop somewhere else, which they kind of, either they had set up shop or it's always been there, and we just didn't know it because we didn't go that far mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that that side is really active because we've been going there for a couple years now.
Yeah.
Right? Across
the...
Or
like three or four, actually. Oh, yeah. Across the way. Across that's been at least 3, I think, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, that wasn't that active before. So it seems like it's shifted, don't you think?
Yes.
So interesting that the more we came around the first quadrant, mm-hmm. now that's been deserted.
Except for the structure that we made.
Except for the one that we put together.
And isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's interesting.
And that big one, what's really sad is, remember the first one we saw there was that big one that I called, it looked like a wigwam. Remember, it was kind of long and not as tall and it wasn't teepee shaped. Remember, it was mm-hmm. closer?
Yeah.
There's nothing left. It's totally, everything's done. Oh. You know? And that was so impressive before, you know?
Yeah, it was. It was. That was a cool mm-hmm. one. Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So there's changes. So it's fun to go back. And we intentionally didn't go back there because we wanted to know what would happen if we didn't go back, you know? Mm-hmm. But now I think we'll start going again every, you know, couple months or something just to see what's shaking up there, you know, because mm-hmm. that's what research is all about. You got to document the changes, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I know you guys have been spending time at other areas, you know, mm-hmm. looking for evidence too, so it's just hard to get to all the places because there's only so many, you know, days in the month that you have off that you can go and do stuff like that. And especially with the research areas that were up north, I just had a hard time getting to them because my days off are so they don't line up with everybody else because I work evenings and weekends a lot of times, so I would have a hard time getting up there with how far away it was, you know. And the one that's here is still an hour away for me now. A little over an hour now. Mm-hmm. So, it's not like you can just, you know, pop over for a 5-minute drive and there you are, which,
right.
You know, but who knows? Maybe I'll have a research area here with what I've been hearing out by the river.
I know. We got to come out there and check it out.
I know. I was going to say we could have come out here some night and see.
Yeah. Hang out in the yard.
Mm-hmm. We can go set up our camp chairs over by the river and, mm-hmm. you know, right by the wood line and just see if we can hear stuff. Because that knocking that one night, Cindy's in the chat room. She was there and she heard it. We about tipped over how clear it was. And it was just like Carter said with when we had him on our show about the counting.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Yeah, I think we should do that for sure. You know, after the full moon or, you know, like maybe in November or something before it gets too cold. We should do it. And when there's no full moon, a new moon is perfect, actually, you know?
We should look at the next couple of new moons coming up and see what we can set up. Because I'd like to, you know, if we could do it before November, it would be great because it gets darn cold. We could sit out there for a couple hours and just see if there's anything that shows up. And
yeah.
Hopefully, besides animals, because we have been surrounded by big creatures lately. There's wolves and coyotes and lynx and bears. I mean, they've been crawling all over the place out here lately. So,
Oh, I know. And, you know, you don't have to be far out for them to be, because look at all the rings that we've found right up here. And so many researchers are sending me their pictures that they're finding those grapevine rings in their research areas. Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
So I haven't been over here for a while. So I'm going to take, maybe Casey and I will walk up there this weekend and just have a look and see if there's anything new or, you know, what's shaking up there, you know, but because that's just a suburban, right? That's
right.
You know, 10 minutes from my house and I'm in the Northern Metro, you know, so bizarre. Suburban squatch, I think is what they call them. So, you know, anyway, this is the time of the thinning veil. So our subject tonight, I think, is very appropriate because, you know, this is the time of year when there's all kinds of activity, supernatural activity. Even if you're not looking for it, it's there.
Yep. Yep. And so we want to make sure, as we are talking about, you know, the thinning of the veil, and since a lot of us in the chat room and listening are into spiritual or the paranormal or whatever, we want to make sure that we stay safe while mm-hmm. we're doing this, because mm-hmm. that's a big deal. You know, we're out in force this time of year. Well, guess what? So is spirit. And yep. they're just looking. There's some of them, not all of them, of course, but some of them are just looking for trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And trouble well, and is usually only, us.
Well, and not only spirits, but, you know, I keep talking about how we keep running into these portals. I mean, what is that? You know, and we talked about that on the show, too, that, you know, when we were up in the Boundary Waters, I mean, they were like everywhere we were. And that's a pretty remote area. And what are all these? What's going on? You know, we did see a lot of ghostly figures, you know. So, yeah, and that wasn't even... But we've said the veil has been thin for yep. ever since COVID started, right? Because there's just so many people dying. It just never has a chance to thicken up.
Yeah, it's been really an interesting shift with the pandemic, you know. And I mean, it's changed so many things, and this is one of them. And I don't know that it's necessarily because of all the people who passed away. I think that contributes to it. But I think because all of us have shifted in some way, you know, too, that... And there is a level of fear with everything going on that's made us maybe a little bit more vulnerable or yeah. open to, you know, possible energetic attack or, you know, attachment or just, you know, being, you know, watched or spied on or anything, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. You really have to be careful, especially now. And, you know, it's interesting. I have someone that contacted me. Well, this happens all the time, and I don't understand. I must not be clear when I tell people that they need to stop doing what they're doing, because I have people that get themselves into trouble because they're doing divination work, and they're trying to contact spirit in some way, shape, or form. I just had someone who she's going to be sending me a Ouija board because she mm-hmm. was using it and, you know, thought she was using it properly, but really didn't think too hard about it. And so just used it, you know, by herself at home and then stopped. And, you know, things started happening and things haven't been good for her. Her energy in her house isn't good, you know, all sorts of things. And I said, well, you need to stop, you know, doing that. You know, don't use the Ouija board anymore. And she asked if she could send it to me. I said, yeah, go ahead. I'll take care of it. I said, don't destroy it, though. Please mm-hmm. don't destroy it. Just send it to me. And then, and stop doing any kind of divination work, you know, especially until we can, you know, get you sorted out and figure out what's, you know, we can do to help you. And she sent another email saying, well, I can still do, what did she say? Oh, Oracle cards and tarot cards, right? Because I've been doing that anyway.
Well, like, that's divination work too. Yeah.
I'm like, wait, no, any kind of divination work where you want, you're trying to communicate and receive answers. You know, if it's one mm-hmm. thing, you know, because I have clients who ask, well, can I still pray? Well, yes, of course you can still pray.
Yes.
Praying is not divination work. You're not asking for guidance or answers. You're sending out, you know, energy to bring hope or strength or something, but it's not a direct answer.
Yeah.
So, or you're sending healing to someone or asking for, you know, strength to get through something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or saying thank you for something. But it's not like, I need to know right now, so I'm going to lay out some tarot cards to get an answer. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. I'm going to use divining rods because I want to know the answer to this. You know, it's that's a difference. Right. And so, anyway, I'm confused sometimes as to why that isn't clear when I say all divination work needs to stop. And they're like, okay, except the pendulum, right?
Well, yeah.
What?
Okay, that is
no. Definitely. I don't get it. So, but I guess, you know, maybe, I don't know. I guess maybe it's, you know, people, they don't want to stop because they want to. I think some people, I'll backtrack. Some people don't want to stop because they don't want to lose the connection that they think that they have. So they think if they stop divination work, they're going to lose maybe whatever intuitive connection they have or whatever, you know, healthy established connections they already have. That's going to go away. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. You know, just stopping everything for now. Good spirit can wait. Bad mm-hmm. spirit can wait too, of course. Mm-hmm. So you better know what you do when you're doing when you pick it back up again. But good spirit will wait for you. They want you to do it in a healthy way. They want you to be safe. So anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I would say scrying is probably divination work too.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that you're trying to establish an open connection with spirit that has back and forth, mm-hmm. you know, you know, I look at prayer is kind of like a putting something in the mail. Yes. You know, it's like a letter to someone just saying, hey, here's where I'm at. And you're not mm-hmm. expecting a response, or at least right now.
No.
You know, you're, you know, maybe asking for hope or strength or whatever.
Yeah.
And, but you're not looking for something right now. And I think that's the difference with divination is people want an answer right now. So they're using a tool to help guide them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
So. Oh, let me catch a couple of questions in the chat room. Mike asked, why not destroy the Ouija board? Well, I don't want her to destroy it because it's harder to close a Ouija board that doesn't exist anymore because now you've got to kind of try and trap that opening mm-hmm. somehow where it's easier to catch it with the actual tool that was used to open it. Mm-hmm. So if people don't know how to close properly a Ouija board and they try and destroy it or they do destroy it, you're just setting that opening. It's somewhere, you know, and it's harder to find it and close it when it doesn't exist. You can still do it, but you're just making it 1,000 times harder. So I would rather have her send it to me and then I can take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely true.
We got a lot of questions into your stuff. I'm like, wait a minute. We're opening up all sorts of questions, which is awesome. And I want to mm-hmm. make sure we answer them.
Mm-hmm.
Cater in the chat room said, can their character change after a while? Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. Like if people, they haven't crossed over yet. They can change.
Absolutely.
They, you know, it crossing over, it sets us to where we need to be energetically.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pass away and you don't cross over, it's like you're swimming. I always think of scuba divers underwater, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our human form is our scuba suit with the air tank.
Mm-hmm.
We need those here to get around, right? And if we don't have them, we get into trouble, you know? And so it's not like they're going to run out of air and die like we would, you know, with a scuba suit. So that's not exactly a great analogy. But if we don't have a scuba suit here, things are not going to go well long term.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we need to go somewhere that kind of cleans us up and resets us so that we can come and go and we can come back here. But then we have a better sense of what we're doing back here. We don't just come to hang around. We probably have some kind of purpose.
Right.
That's not unlimited. You know, it has some kind of, there's some function that mm-hmm. is why we're back. But yeah, if people, spirits don't cross over after a while, you know, it might take a while, it might take a long time, but mm-hmm. they get weird.
Yeah.
I think they're not weird. I guess I don't know what's
twisted.
Yeah, they can. They can get, I've seen some spirits, and some have happened really quickly because they were so angry when they passed away because they weren't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so mad that they got twisted up pretty fast.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like their human self. It was something different, and that's not good for a whole bunch of reasons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So Kat is saying, no ghost hunting. Divination being the practice of seeking knowledge of the future or unknown by supernatural means.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I would say no divination means anything really to do with the supernatural. Just give it up for a while so you can figure it out.
The key piece is being seeking knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're seeking knowledge. You want an answer now. And that's the big deal with divination, is you want an answer now. If you're, you know, praying, you're putting something out there and it's going to unfold as it is supposed to unfold, you know, whatever it is. But divination work, you want an answer. You want it now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like, no, because if you're in trouble, you know, you have some kind of attachment or you've opened something up you don't know how to close, doing any kind of communication work is just going to amplify it. You're just calling out to more. Like, have you ever done it when you did paranormal investigating? You get those cases where they send you all these videos and all these photos and all these EVPs of all the stuff that they caught in their house. Yes. And they're freaking out because it's getting worse. And they're like, oh, I caught this new video last night. It's even worse than the other one. I'm like, stop.
I know. What are you doing? I know. And for goodness sakes, don't become familiar with them and don't name them and don't talk to them like they're family. You know, that just makes them grow bigger and bigger and more powerful and more powerful. And it's like, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, exactly. And it's showing that you're okay with them being there. If you give them a name and give them an identity and acknowledge them, you're giving them permission to be there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Right.
That's like, what are you, if you don't, if you're scared and you don't want that to continue, stop.
Yeah, stop. Stop it. Yes, exactly. Don't keep, you know, hey, buddy, what are you doing tonight?
Okay. Or you hear people say, well, as long as they just leave me alone, you know, I don't mind them being here, but as long as they just leave me alone or they don't hurt me. It's like, wait a minute. I don't want them here at all if they're not here for my highest good. No, you have to leave. I don't care what you're doing here. I'm not running some, you know, house for wayward spirits here. You don't have anywhere else to go, so come hang out here. No. You need to go. Because there's places that they can go, they're just choosing not to. Their spirit guides will gladly lead them to where they need to go next if they just follow them or listen, but they won't. So they're going to look for something else.
Exactly. And, you know, there are people who like to have these spirits hanging around, and I'm telling you what, in my house, if I sense there's something in here that's not kosher, it's gone, you know, and I have protections, and I know you do too. And protection, that's what the name of the show is all about today.
Mm-hmm.
But because you just don't want them hanging around because they could do something bad, you know, they do have the ability to do that. And I know Cater's asking, can a twisted human spirit ghost be dangerous to the living? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They can be. Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep. I've worked a bunch of cases where spirits have, they were humans, you know, and they passed away and they became very nasty. I had one case, I'll tell it quick before the break here, because then we'll go to break afterwards. Mm-hmm. I had a case where this entity was in the house. They didn't know who it was, but was really causing a lot of problems. There was a couple living there. They were married, and the target was the wife. And she was really being scared. She was being tormented. She was being basically harassed. She was being touched. It was hurtful touch. She was being scratched. She was being punched. She was being followed in the house, scared. You know, it was really bad. And when we got there, I was sensing that it was another female that was jealous of this relationship, and she was connected to the husband. Well, we ended up finding out that his first wife had passed away, and she had passed away in a drug-induced state. She had overdosed, I believe, and it was bad.
Yeah.
And she was really angry. She was really angry before she passed away, and she was angrier after she passed away, and her energy changed into something really wicked. And she was trying to get rid of the new wife. This had been years. I mean, it wasn't like, boom, they got married right after the gift.
Right.
I mean, this has been a nice, you know, he did his grieving and moved through his process and met someone, whatever. And she was mad. She was really mad. And she was going to take this woman out if she could. And because the attacks were getting more violent.
Yeah.
And we actually found something because he got rid of everything because he they had a terrible relationship, him and his first wife. And it, I mean, it had been good in the beginning, and it just got so bad because of the drug use. And he got rid of everything in the house except for one little thing that he forgot in a drawer. And that's how she was staying connected there. And we found it because we said, I think you have some here. He's like, nope, I got rid of everything. And we're like, we know you have some here. We can feel it because we can feel her rooted in it here. And we ended up digging through everything. He found it. He found it in his drawer. And he's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I still have this. And we're like, we'll take it for you if you want. He said, yeah, get it out of here. Mm-hmm. And she was so mad that we found it. So mad. And but we ended up helping her go where she needs to go so she can get her healing. But she was getting wicked, and she was going to be very, if she would have continued, I would imagine that woman would have ended up in the hospital.
Wow. Yeah.
At the very least, she would have ended up in the hospital, if not worse.
It can happen. I'm just telling you. Anyway, we're past the halfway point, so we are going to commercial break. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
Looking for a truly unique podcast experience? We have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
Hey, Heidi, have you listened to The Calling lately?
Why, yes, Steph, I have. It's really good. Have you?
Absolutely. It's what I would say is a wild and woolly affair.
So does that mean it's a wild and woolly Wednesday show?
Well, I definitely think that that's true.
So you know we listen, since The Calling is the sibling show to our show, The Gathering.
Listen to The Calling Radio Show with Jerry, Willow, and Kimberly Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Right here on the Para X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock. The Dark Sun Rising on the Para X Radio Network.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network, and we're talking about protections tonight. And one of the key things that we've been talking about before the break here is when things are going wrong, stop doing what's making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. That's the big thing for protections, is to stop putting yourself into that situation.
Absolutely. And if you seek help from someone and they're telling you that, just take a listen. Just do what they're telling you, because we kind of know what we're talking about. You know?
Right.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. And that, when you're doing something that is creating an increase in activity, you need to stop doing the thing that's increasing the activity first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when people get into trouble with spirit, you know, they have issues, it's because they were doing something that they don't know how to manage, or they don't have the experience or the expertise or knowledge, or have only read about it in books. They have no, or seen it on TV. They have no practical knowledge, working knowledge of how this actually works. So, you know, you have to think about, you know, and that's another thing with protections is to not do it in the first place. You know, I don't know how to use a chainsaw, so I'm not just going to start using a chainsaw.
No.
You know, that's, I mean, I don't know if that's a good example, but that's where I'm going with this. You know, I don't know how to use one. I'm not going to just go out and turn one on and start chopping things up.
No.
Goodness. I don't know if I have the right gear. I'd like to see someone use it. They can show me how to use it. I can watch them use it many times.
Yeah, I still don't want to use one of those. But this is the same thing. People don't realize that it really is something that you need to protect yourself from until they're in a position where it's the hour is late and, you know, there's bad things happening. And mm-hmm. you know, then they are like, you know, oh, my God, what do I do now? You know?
Mm-hmm. So Kat is asking, where did everyone get their practical knowledge for all this? Which is an awesome question. Mm-hmm. So when we were thinking of divination work, for example, I would go to people who teach classes on it, and you can learn from them. Like, reading books is great, but I think next level is human connection, yeah. finding someone who could be a mentor that mm-hmm. says, this is, I've done this for a long time. This is what I know works and this doesn't work. So this is how I would do it. And, mm-hmm. and also getting to know someone's skill sets that they come in with. Some people are very intuitive, but have, you know, they're just an open door. They're just mm-hmm. a welcome mat laying there waiting for everything to, you know, mm-hmm. run the front door open, you know, and come in.
Exactly.
So you have to know, you know, find someone who can help you that's done this for a long time. Same thing with paranormal investigators, right? Mm-hmm. You're in a paranormal, or you've been in a paranormal investigating group. You bring new people in and train them. Mm-hmm. You don't just, you, if I'm starting, when I went to a paranormal group, I joined one that had people that knew what they were doing already. So mm-hmm. that when I was able to take over the group, I knew what to do. And then I could yeah. train people that joined how to do it.
Right.
Instead of just going out and starting a group and making all sorts of horrible mistakes that could get myself or someone else hurt, I decided to talk to people who had done it before and knew how to do it. So mm-hmm. that's how I would do it. I mean, that's how you get practical knowledge, I think, is you talk to people who have done it. Mm-hmm. You talk to people who mm-hmm. know. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, like I know at the Para Expo, we're teaching Paranormal 101, which we've done before. And guess what's the first, almost the first thing on the list is protection, you know, because people need to know how to do that and know that they should be doing this, especially anytime they're looking, you know, they're practicing working with the paranormal.
Yep. Yep.
So what do you suggest for people to do that? So they're going to go ghost hunting. What should they do, Heidi, to protect themselves?
Well, first, again, I would make sure you're with people who already know what to do. I mean, mm-hmm. to tell someone how to protect yourself and then fling yourself out into a paranormal investigation mm-hmm. with no prior experience is wrong. I wouldn't. That would be the first thing is just don't do it. If you're going to do a paranormal investigation, make sure you're with seasoned investigators if you've never done it before. That would be the best protection you could have because mm-hmm. then you're with people who know how to do it. They know how to keep you safe because there are energetic things that could be done to keep you safe. That's how I work is in energy. I don't use tools to keep mm-hmm. myself safe. I think it's a nice secondary effect. Okay. You know, to use smudge sticks or Florida water or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I work from an energy, energetic state to mm-hmm. keep myself safe. And if someone doesn't know how to do that, they'll do something like they'll use a pendulum or not a pendulum, excuse me, an amulet. They'll wear an amulet around their neck or they'll use smudge sticks or whatever. And it's like, okay. But if we don't know where it's coming from, what we're trying to protect from, then that might not be completely effective. So, mm-hmm. you know, the best thing you can do to keep yourself safe is work with someone who's already skilled in this area.
Mm.
Because it's almost impossible to tell someone how to keep themselves safe and then push them off a cliff.
Right.
Because that's kind of what you're doing
yes.
when you have someone who's going to go out and investigate for the first time and has never done it. It says, hey, what should I do to keep myself safe? And you're going to tell them, do this, and then push them off a cliff. It's mm-hmm. like, well, that's not. It's like, here's your parachute. Mm-hmm. All you should do is jump and pull that at some point. It's like, really? I think this.
It is true. It is true. And Kat's saying, they're talking about experts now, and Kat's saying that her understanding is that most folk who are seen as experts started investigating pretty much flying blind. Which a lot of us did. I mean, the Sim crew, we started Sim without doing that. We learned really fast. We learned really fast what to do and how to do it and how to protect ourselves. But Yeah, I do think most people that start out in that world, in that realm, just go and, woo, you know, things happen.
I agree, because I think that when people see it on TV, they just think, mm-hmm. oh, I'm just going to go do it. Mm-hmm. And people get really hurt, though.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen people, you learn, and you learn quickly, but mm-hmm. you learn through bad things happening.
Absolutely.
You know, I think bad things can happen. I've seen people who have been very damaged, mm-hmm. permanently damaged by mm-hmm. paranormal, investigations and experiments.
Yeah. Yep.
That it is irreversible.
Yeah.
You know, physically damaged. So yep. I don't feel like taking that kind of risk, and I certainly wouldn't push anybody into taking that kind of risk, because I know it can happen.
I agree. And I think that's why, you know, we stress it so much, because, you know, back in the early 2000s, when paranormal investigating was exploding, nobody knew about this kind of stuff. You know, it was just, mm-hmm. we watched Ghost Hunters, right? And so then that's what we did, you know, and then these things started, and then we had to talk to other people and find out what can we do to protect ourselves, you know, mm-hmm. and then you figure it out pretty fast, you know, but that's why I think now, because, you know, even the sim crew, we all, boy, protection is like first on the list, right? You know, anybody that comes into the fold learns how to do that, and then we're there to help protect them too, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, first thing is, if you're gonna go out and ghost hunt or be a paranormal investigator, be with people who know how and can protect you and teach you how to do it yourself, you know. That's
right,
like one of the big things. But there are, you know, there are many ways to do it. I mean, some people like to bring crystals with them, right? Because they have, you know, energetic protection, which they do. You know, some people will have a talisman, you know, maybe a cross, you know, that they feel has lots of power and will protect them. Some people just do it with a prayer. I think it really takes a lot of different things, including the energy bubbles and learning about, you know, your energy field and pulling it in and all that good stuff, you know. And I mean, there's just lots of ways to do it. And you just, mm-hmm. you know, you just need to be well versed and kind of do them all. And if you think it's a really bad situation that you're going into, like, for example, your story about the woman who was, you know, trying to kill this, you know, new wife of her husband, then you know you really have to maybe use 4 or 5 different things, including mm-hmm. what you usually use, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And to know that you don't know. You know, if you don't know how to handle something like that, then you shouldn't be doing it, mm-hmm. you know? So, mm-hmm. again, you know, using, like we've talked about in the beginning, working with divination tools and how to keep yourself safe. You know, you can certainly establish, at least in the beginning, that you're only willing and welcoming spirits who are there for your highest good. But then you still have to keep setting up that energy field to detect, like, who's here.
Yes.
You know, and that's why when I teach people how to work with their energy fields, I teach people how to work with their higher beings and mm-hmm. their higher self, because you can learn that energy so that can be your guide as to anything else that breaks that field that doesn't mm-hmm. feel like that. You know that you shouldn't be talking to them,
mm-hmm.
that they might be up to no good, even if in the beginning it feels awesome and they're giving you tons of good information. And it feels like, oh, wow, I'm getting a lot of good stuff from this. I wouldn't trust them. If they're not one of your core team, I wouldn't trust them.
Right. I agree. And the other thing that you should do also, I think, you know, and this applies to everyday living too, but you need to ground yourself as mm-hmm. often as you can. And you know, there are many ways to do that as well. So all of these things, there's many different ways. For me, the simplest way for me to ground is to go outside and bare feet on Mama Earth and put my hands on a tree, you know, mm-hmm. and that just does it so well for me. But you can visualize, you know, the whole, you know, your feet on the earth and going down into Mama Earth and all of those things. But you need to be grounded too, because that mm-hmm. will offer some protection as well, you know, and you're just in a better place too, you mm-hmm. know, to understand if something is dangerous and something is, you know, going to hurt you. Don't you think?
Yep. Yeah, and that's all stuff that I teach in my class. Well, you took that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. You know, mm-hmm. you need to be grounded because you're not as much of a moving target, because it's hard to protect right. a moving target. And right. when you're a moving target because you're not grounded, you're kind of yes. all over the place, it's hard to set up proper protections.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
being grounded is awesome. There's really great ways to do it. You know, even just throughout the week when you're not doing some kind of divination work or spiritual work or whatever, or investigating or whatever, there, you know, throughout the week, you can ground yourself through repetition, regular activities, things that bring you into your body, you know, mm-hmm. That don't put you out of your body, basically. You know, mm-hmm. if people count, you can't count TV, computer, cell phone, anything electronic. Electronics do not ground us. They put us out of our body.
Absolutely not.
They're the opposite of grounding. So mm-hmm. I always talk about my crossword puzzle. And I work on my crossword puzzle, my Sunday crossword. There's two of them in every Sunday paper, so I do both of them. And, you know, by the time I get partway through the week, I'm pretty much done with both of them, but I can still chop away a little bit at it. But it's nice to just sit down for 10 minutes and do a few, you know, try and figure out a few more. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I got my big dictionary as I use it as a little table on my lap and my crossword. And it's very mm-hmm. grounding for me. And mm-hmm. I do that every week. I do it a couple times a week, maybe three or four times during the week, just to, you know, 10 minutes to help sure. me ground and just sit sure. and be in my body, you know, yeah. and really it's awesome. It's awesome yeah. way to ground.
And perfect. Sometimes all you need to do is go outside in the yard and sit in a chair and just be for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And that really helps too. In the wintertime, that's a little difficult, but you know what? People go outside in the wintertime all the time. I do. I love it in the wintertime.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? So, but you don't really have to do that either. You can just sit at your kitchen table, have a cup of coffee, and just be for 10 mm-hmm. minutes, you know? And that is an amazing thing because nobody does it right. Everybody's always looking at the phone, talking on the phone, looking at the computer, you know, or a TV or something. You know, we don't just zone out, you know, mm-hmm. and do something that's just manual anymore, you know?
Yeah. Although I do have to give a little disclaimer on the coffee thing, because caffeine is not grounding. So you put yourself out of your body with caffeine. So,
but just hanging out is a good thing. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Coffee, I
have
I love
decaf, my decaf. I don't do caffeine, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's to just sit and be present.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just quiet, you're sitting in the chair, you're feeling, you know, mm-hmm. the, being in this chair that you're in. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking mm-hmm. outside, or you're sitting outside, or whatever Mike was talking about, being on the porch, you know, yep. yeah, it's totally.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or yep. just, you know, sitting on the porch watching the squirrels, you know, I have a mm-hmm. million squirrels out there, and it's cool to do. And it's very calming, very grounding all at the same time, you know? So yeah, anything you can do that will just set you up to, you know, be well protected against other things, you know, and like I said, sometimes it's as simple as, you know, having your favorite protective stones in your pockets that will protect you, or around your neck, or
well, they won't protect somewhere. You. The
well, but they offer a kind of energy. We're talking about energy, and some crystals do have energy, you know.
They can help focus your intention.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not want them to just, I wouldn't want you to rely on stones and crystals
no,
to protect you
no.
exclusively, because that
but
is
they're
dangerous.
A part of it. They're a part of the whole thing, mm-hmm. right? I don't personally do that, but I know a lot of people who do that, who always are carrying around their, you know, favorite crystals or their stones or whatever. And yeah, I don't do that.
No.
But it is one of the things.
There's a lot of questions. I'm looking back. The Cater had a question a few scroll back here. Can a whole area be haunted, like a small town? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it depends. I mean, I would think I haven't been to a lot of haunted towns, but I've been to a few, and mm-hmm. they're haunted for different reasons. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it's the, you know, area because of some tragedy that happened, maybe a war.
Yeah.
Or a battle or something, you know, that creates an energy in a really big place.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's the activity that went on in the town that was nefarious, or mm-hmm. hurtful or whatever, you know, or other mm-hmm. things, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Or good. I shouldn't say it's always bad. Sometimes there can be really good energies that is prevalent, you know, in a large area because of really good stuff. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Towns can be haunted for sure. Oh,
absolutely. And about, you know, they always talk about there's a lot of paranormal investigations of battlefields, right? Like mm-hmm. the Civil War battlefields, which makes me think, wow, you know, when the Vikings were big up in Norway, think about it. I mean, wow, if it's anything like the show, mm-hmm. man, a lot of Norway must really be haunted. Can I just say, because of all the horrible battles that went on, you know? Yes. So, yeah. So, you know, all kinds of stuff can happen. You know, maybe a whole town came down with COVID, for example, and they all died. And that's a bad thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, think of tuberculosis.
Look at the sanatoriums, you know? They're just crazy activity. You know,
different flus, different pandemics mm-hmm. that we've had over the generations. I mean, mm-hmm. those can, you know, it's interesting going to certain towns in the Twin Cities. Well, towns, I should say cities. But you go into different areas of the Twin Cities and there are some weird areas mm-hmm. that aren't just a little neighborhood. It's like the whole town. So when I get a call to do a home clearing at certain places, I'm like, oh, here we go. Because mm-hmm. I know what I'm getting myself into because I've done clearings there before. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Okay.
I know. There's a couple south of
suit up.
Yeah. South of, you know, the southern suburbs. There's a couple ones that are crazy like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. So, yeah, it's Stone Arch Bridge area. Well, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of hauntings down there, too. But I haven't really noticed that much there.
We've gotten some good stuff when we've been down there.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff, though. I mean, not bad stuff.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been some good stuff yeah. mm-hmm. that we've caught on evidence. So, yeah. No, I like going down there. But, yeah, there's I'm looking at some of these. mm-hmm.
I know there's so many comments. It's like it's hard to keep track tonight. Mm-hmm. Sherry is saying that it's her thought the deity is made of energy entities that are now angels. I thought that deities made energy entities now angels. Okay, I'm not sure what that means exactly.
Mm-mm.
I thought I did, but then I read it and it wasn't what I thought. So no. Clarify, Sherry.
Yeah.
Yep. St. Paul. Well, St. Paul is such an old city, right? And so many of the buildings there are original. I mean, they're old. You know, yeah. St. Paul doesn't tear them down like Minneapolis does. St. Paul leaves them and protects them. Unlike Minneapolis, you know, they just kind of like to tear them down and build the new skyscrapers. So
I like St. Paul. I mean, for the most part, St. Paul feels pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think so too.
There's little pockets, I'm sure, here and there, but for the most part, because I lived in St. Paul for a while and yeah, I liked it. It mm-hmm. felt pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rat out any cities. Let's put it that way. So I'm not going to tell you where I think there's big areas of weird.
But there are definitely weird areas. And I think that's everywhere, though. I don't think it's just the Twin Cities.
No, it's not picking on the Twin Cities. It's just because I live here.
Yeah. It's just, you know, depending on, you know, what maybe happened there. Who knows? You know?
Mm-hmm.
The different things.
But, yeah, when it comes to protections, it's best to not dabble, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts from the beginning of just not throwing yourself into the fire before you know how to keep yourself safe. And the best way to keep yourself safe is to find a mentor or a group or, you know, people that have done this that can teach you based on your energies and abilities or not abilities, you know, whatever, what would work best for you, because there isn't a blanket approach. I think that's something to be aware of, is that there's not just one way to do this. It's going to be different for everybody based on what your energy field is, what you can do or not do, what you believe or don't believe, what you're going to be doing, you know, what mm-hmm. kind of work you're going to be doing. So it should be custom, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Custom for you. And you won't know what that means until you find someone that can help you. And so that would be the best thing to do, is to find someone that can help you.
Yeah, I agree. But so grounding and protection are two very important things. And right now with the thinning of the veil, everyone, just do it. Just go out and ground yourself and then, you know, do a little protection and you're good. Don't go paranormal investigating by yourself or with, you know, go with someone who knows what they're doing so they can help you with the protections and teach you how to protect yourself. And center yourself. Yes, Sherry, thank you. Ground and center. Yes, both of those things are very important to our well-being, especially right now in the thinning of the veil. Before I forget, tomorrow night on The Calling is Paranormal Babble. And I know they, when I put out our ad for this week, Heidi, mm-hmm. they told me, Jerry said, that's what we were going to talk about. And so I said, well, we got it first.
So now they're babbling. They could talk about it too. Big deal.
That's what I said. I said, you guys should talk about it anyway, because, you know, they maybe all have different ideas too. But, and they maybe will talk a little bit about it. But so listen to The Calling radio show tomorrow at 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Para X. And next week is our Paranormal Smorgasbord. So get your subjects out, and I think we'll talk about all the cool things you and I are doing in October, and maybe we'll mention a little bit about our Halloween show and what we've done, and, you know, what we, hopefully we'll have some good stuff, you know, that week of Halloween.
Yeah.
And then we have Wendy Webb is coming back on 2 weeks from tonight. So that'll be super, super fun. Talk about owls. The owls are back, people. The owls are back. I hear them not every morning, but I've heard them several mornings at, you know, 6 a.m. when I'm out with Melly. And it's so fun. I know they were really close the other day and we tried to walk. I walked down the street and they kept getting louder and louder. But then they were up on, you know, a place where we couldn't get to. So, but nice. I love that they're back. Just makes me happy.
Awesome.
So, yeah, lots of cool stuff coming up. So get your subjects ready and your topics and, you know, put them all in the chat room. And we will certainly have ours for this crazy month of October.
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. We always have awesome topic suggestions in the chat room during the Paranormal Smorgasbord. So I'm excited to see what you guys come up with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's going to be great. Octobeard.
I don't even want to know. Octobeard.
Yeah, that's, I don't know what that means.
Sherry in the chat room. I don't know what you're talking about.
She does have some kind of crazy ideas sometimes, doesn't she? Listen, since we have a minute, I just got to thank everyone in the chat room because you guys are awesome. We have the most awesome listeners here on Para X. And, you know, you guys are just fabulous with, you know, what you have to say. And you have some great ideas for next upcoming shows. And if you have any more ideas, you know, let us know, you know.
Yep.
October is pretty much booked, but now we're starting to think about November. So we'll be, you know, looking for new topics and new people and whatever. Yeah. And then we get into, you know, we got to get Kyle Cadell on again for our winter solstice.
Yeah, we do.
A Christmas edition.
It'll be like our fourth year with him.
I know. I love him. He is so cool. He's so fun. So anyway, well, until next time, everyone, thank you for listening in, and to all of the troops listening, wherever you are, please be safe, and we thank you for your service.
Absolutely. And again, everybody in the chat room, thank you so much for your contributions. Lots of comments tonight and questions, which has been lots of fun. And anybody, wherever you're listening, everybody out there, thank you for tuning in to Para X. We just love having you here. And Para X, thank you for hosting us, because we love it here. And then, of course, Sarge, the most amazing producer on the planet. We just are so grateful.
Yes,
so grateful.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, everyone, make it a good week, and we will see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.